Hezekiah. Hezekiah can be found in the book of 2 Chronicles. For those of you who are already searching for Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 is where we get started this evening. And as you can tell by our title slide, we're talking about the mail tonight, and it was a Bible post office that gives us our object lesson hear from God's Word this evening. Now, a lot of people ask when they see our eldest with the red hair, where did that come from? They wonder, you know, where did that come from? And they usually ask if it was the milkman or something like that. And my standard line is, well, we thought maybe it was the letter carrier, but she's black. So, it's a pop-pop. Kimberly's dad is where that all come from, not the letter carrier. When I was a little boy, my dad was a mail carrier for several years before he went into full-time ministry. And I remember going with him shopping for his outfits in a special place in Beardstown, Illinois. He carried the mail right here in Jacksonville, Illinois, for several years. And I have much respect for those who go door-to-door, street-to-street, carrying the mail for us. They're trying to quit on Saturdays, right? Isn't that the news? No more Saturday delivery here soon. But I have much respect because they are representing someone else who has sent them, and they bridge the gap between us and loved ones far away. So you're in 2 Chronicles by now. Have you found that difficult to find book in your Old Testament? Chapter 30, actually back up one verse to the last verse of chapter 29. Verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Let me sum it up for you. The thing that was done suddenly was revival. Revival happens to the people of God. Now, chapter 30, verse 1, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves. Verse 4, and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree, and this is what they mailed out, to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan. That's like from Quincy to Danville, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. Verse 6, so the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king. Stop right there. Isn't it great to get mail? Don't you love going to your mailbox and getting mail? I mean, the good mail. We're not talking about junk mail. But you get a letter, a card from someone, or, you know, is there a check in here? It's wonderful going and getting mail that you do want. You love that little sound when your email dings and you look, and it's somebody that you were wanting to hear from. That still happens once in a while, right? Once in a while, one of those dings is someone you want to hear from. It means something to us, even if not quite as much as a few years ago. And I tell you tonight, folks, to think that someone of the stature and prestige of Ed McMahon would think of me and want me to have more money means a lot to me, that he wants to make me rich. I don't know about you, I have some other people who want to give me dozens of music CDs for 1 cent. Isn't that amazing? That's the junk mail. We don't care about that stuff, okay? But seriously, our hearts do skip a beat when we receive a letter that we are wanting. I remember the summer that Kimberly and I got engaged. That was in July 10th of 1992. We got engaged. It was the summer between our junior and senior year of college. And I was talking to Brother Ethan on the phone the other night, at which time he said, summer of 1992, I was in my mommy's belly. Nice. Anyway, we were in Pensacola, and we get engaged, and we have all summer previous to the engagement and after separated. And this was back when they charged for long distance, and there weren't cell phones, you know, and we walked to school uphill both ways. You know the whole story. Way back when, and we couldn't even afford the long distance to make calls to one another. If they had texting and stuff like that, we would have been doing all those things. So we wrote letters every day, and you loved getting that good kind of mail. Well, they were having revival in Hezekiah's day, brought on by God, and we read in these verses here about this man Hezekiah, who reigned over Judah from the throne there in Jerusalem. His father had been king before him. His father was an evil man. And when he died, when Hezekiah's father died, the kingdom was in a bad, sad state. But Hezekiah learned from a young age what sin does to people. All right? Hezekiah saw as a kid in his father's kingdom what sin did to the people and to the kingdom itself, and left them all in this sad state. But he determined in his heart to bring the people back to God, and so he led the people to seek the Lord, and they found the Lord, and revival ensued, and what happens next is great. Hezekiah is not satisfied with this revival located just in Jerusalem. He wants the whole world to be in on it, so he went from border to border. He sent word from border to border about what God was doing there in Jerusalem. Verse 1 says, the method chosen to get the word out was letters. Verse 6 says, the letters were carried by posts or letter carriers. This is the earliest mention of any kind of postal work anywhere, and the only mention that I know of anywhere in Scripture. Now, you and I are supposed to be God's mail carrier, so this is an interesting object lesson to me here this evening. We have a message from the king. You and I have a message, don't we, from the king? Aren't we charged to deliver it throughout our land? And today, news travels pretty fast, by the web, by email, travels really fast. Our church tomorrow will deliver around the world God's word just preached this morning and tonight, and this past Wednesday night. Those three messages from this week will go out to tens of thousands of people right into their inbox. And yet that lacks a personal touch, unless there's a man of God on the other end, which in many cases there is, in the case of Grace Notes Ministry. A man of God on the other end receives that message and decides to relay it personally to people around him where he is at. That's a unique and special ministry we're all glad to be a part of. It's a personal touch when we send missionaries out to all these countries represented by these flags here and more. It's a personal touch when they go and carry the mail that we've sent them to carry and that God has sent us all to carry and relay it to those people. Now, the post office will tell you that it's hard to find people who want to carry the mail. And can you blame people for not wanting to walk all day long, every day, neither rain nor sleet nor snow, whatever, hail? It's hard to find people who want to carry the mail. Most want to work behind the counter, want to be in upper-level management, want to drive a truck that just goes to certain boxes, but not all the personal touch of going to so many houses, and who could blame them? People even want to work in the sorting room or behind the one-way glass supervising. And why is this? And why is it in the Christian life that so few want to be that one to go out door-to-door personally taking the gospel around? Why is it that that seems to be the case in the Christian world as well? Hand-delivering the mail for God is not people's favorite thing. Well, here's some things that I think we can learn from our object lesson of mail tonight. Number one, why do people not want to carry the mail? Because you have to show up every day. You have to show up on time. You have to be willing to submit yourself and take orders from your master. You must spend all your time and energy doing the will of someone else, not your will. You must accept the route that you are given and assigned, and you must go there whether you want to go there or not. You have to study. You have to memorize details. I remember my dad having to memorize his route there, and then people would move, And as soon as you've got it all down, you're called to fill in for someone else on another route, and you've got to relearn a whole bunch of new information. Why do people not want to carry the mail? Well, you've got to go house to house to those you like and to those you don't. Maybe in a good neighborhood, maybe not. Maybe they're white, maybe they're black, maybe they're Jew, maybe they're dogs. Gentiles. The Gentiles are dogs. The mailman loves our dog, doesn't he? He really gets right in the bay window and just antagonizes him daily. But you know what? Those on the other side of the tracks need to have their mail delivered just like you and I do, right? You have to brave the elements in season, out of season. And I think that there's a correlation here between what we see in that industry and what God has told us to do. Let me tell you about one who faithfully delivers the mail day after day, no matter the circumstances, and this is our object lesson tonight. You know who that one is who carries the mail day after day, never complains, and never seems to fail? That one is the postage stamp. The postage stamp. The postage stamp is always faithful to bring the mail along, and it's a good picture of the Christian. So I want to share with you tonight how the postage stamp is a picture of the Christian and what we can learn from this passage about Hezekiah. How is the postage stamp a picture of a good Christian, a faithful Christian? Number one, because of where the postage stamp originated. The postage stamp goes back to, it was invented by a man named Roland Hill. Roland Hill, who lived far away in England. So you could say the postage stamp originated from a hill far away. All right? That sounds like a stretch, doesn't it? But we as Christians can do that too. Let's skip that one. I've got better stuff. stuff that's more believable. The postage stamp is a good picture of the Christian because of how it was named. You know the word post is the root word? Post. Originally, the first post from which we get the postal service idea today was just a wooden pole driven into the ground, and on that post, the king would tack up announcements and decrees and proclamations, and they would stick these announcements there on public display with the king's seal thereon, so everybody who passed by would realize that the king made this post. Now today, everybody's making posts all the time. Did you read my post? Did you respond to my post? The king made the posts in those days. And the king's post was good whether you liked it or not, okay? So think about that the next time you make some online posts. For the believer, on that hill far away, another wooden post stood, and on it God nailed up his love letter to the world. Now we're not being cheesy. This is the truth, right? Yes. He put the King of Kings on public display. He made the public announcement of his love, the declaration of his mercy, the decree of his grace right there on that post. The stamp is a beautiful picture of what a Christian is supposed to be because of the love shown for it and the great price that is paid for it. Now, we all agree we pay an ever-increasing price for stamps, right? What is it now? I mean, they just call them forever now because the number is so out there. But what's the lowest that you can remember? Call out the lowest you've ever paid for full postage. What? You're not that old. Is he that old? 3 cents here. Who else? Can I beat 3 cents? Anybody ever pay less than that and want to admit it? Okay. Well, Brother Roger's by far the oldest person in Grace Baptist Church. We knew that, right? He's the oldest, honest person in the church tonight. We pay an ever-increasing price. We pay a high price for the stamp. But do we love it? Do we love it? I don't remember ever expressing affection for a stamp. I mean, other than licking it. And that's not really not personal, okay? Well, we must remember that in this illustration, don't miss this tonight, in this illustration, we are the stamp. We are the stamp in this running object lesson here tonight. We are not the liquor. We are the stamp. Now, have you ever heard of a philatelist? Raise your hand if you know what a philatelist is. You say, where I come from, we were taught not to speak that way. Okay, let me explain what a philatelist is. It comes from two Greek words in the New Testament, phileo, which means to love, and teleo, which means to pay for. The philatelist loves to pay for something that basically gives them nothing. The stamp collector will pay the money for postage that they're not going to use. It's never going to move a letter. It's never going to accomplish anything. So they love to pay for. That's the philatelist. And the philatelist loves stamps so much that they purchase them. Now, our God is collecting the souls of men. And why does He pay a high price for them? Because He loves them. Not because we're necessarily going to turn into anything of value for Him. Not because we're necessarily going to do anything for Him that He could not do for Himself. Hey, there it is. Phileo, teleo, philatelist. That means stamp collector, by the way. So, God is willing to pay any price to collect the souls of men. And that word teleo on your screen is the root word of what Jesus said on the cross. Tetelestai. It is finished. Alternate meaning, paid in full. I love to pay for. I love to pay for your sins, He's saying. Ah, we're getting somewhere now. Why is the stamp a good picture of the Christian? Because of where it can be found on the envelope. It's always up in the corner. God's got us cornered. He's on our trail. He's got us to the place where our backs are against the wall sometimes. There's no place to go. That's where Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, found Ruth. The Gentile bride was in the corner of the field where the gleaners were allowed. It was just there in the corner. The stamp is a good picture of us because of which side it's on. Which side is it on? It's on the right side. It's on the right side. You don't put the stamp on the left side, it won't work. That's the wrong side. Now, what's the saying? They say left is right and right is wrong. That's earrings, guys. And I say both sides are wrong. But when it comes to stamps, you don't put it on the left side. You don't put it on the back side. You put it on the right side there on the front side. And we want to make sure we're on the right side. The winning team, deliver the mail for God. It gets better. The colors. The colors of the postmark. Think about this now. They use two colors for postmarks. They use black and they use red. And I was once stained with the black marks of sin, but Jesus blotted out my sins with a crimson, red, rich, royal, righteous blood, which He poured out for my sake on that cross, on that post, if you will. And when the postmaster places his postmark across the top of a letter, it overlaps the stamp. Your stamp can't be reused when they do that. Have you ever seen a miss before and you catch a stamp and, hey, I can use some steam here and I can use this again? Okay? It's called stealing. Anyway, when the postmark covers that stamp as it is supposed to, you know what they call that? They say that stamp has been what? Canceled. And when Jesus sees all the sins of a repentant sinner like you, He does not rub them in, praise God. He stamps them out. He stamps them out. Paid in full and canceled out. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Canceled. Paid in full. And because of the watermarks, the stamp is a good picture of the Christian who's doing what's right. Many stamps today have a watermark for identification. The Bible says that they that gladly received His word received a watermark. They were baptized, as one did this morning right here behind me. You don't have to have the watermark in order to be a stamp, but it helps the stamp to be the real thing, to have that watermark. It's a good picture of baptism there. What else? Ah, I see in the stamp what we see pictured on the stamp. Did you know that originally stamps would only have royalty on them? Originally, stamps would only have the face of royalty. Now we see all sorts of things pictured on stamps these days. But originally, only royalty would be pictured on the stamps. You know how we put presidents on money, Benjamin Franklin on the five, and, and Lincoln's on his thing, and the trillion-dollar bill will have to have Obama on it. These days, you find all sorts of things on stamps. And these days, you'll find all kinds of things in the lives of Christians. But it used to be that when you looked at a Christian, you saw the king. You saw the king. Stamps are a good picture of what a Christian's supposed to be because of the records that are kept. Millions of stamps have been made in so many designs that it would make our heads spin. But at the post office, they have big books that list all the stamps ever made. Now that those books are online, where you can look up all the stamps ever made according to their records. And I want you to know that in heaven, there's a great big book, a book of records. And you want to make sure that your name is written there. The postmark lists the time and the date of the letter's deposit. So I ask you, when was your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? And lest anyone be confused as to whether it's important, this thing about your name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your name is written there. Well, stamps are a picture of the Christian because of the full collection that's being put together. There is a full collection being put together. The post office keeps their catalog, not only for the sake of weeding out counterfeits, but for the benefit of collectors, those who are appreciative of the full collection. You see, the stamp collector can sit down with his collection, and he can compare it to the catalog, and he can see if there's any that are missing, any that are supposed to be there. And the stamps in the book came first from a roll. And when the book is opened in heaven and the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. How about you? Praise the Lord. When John the Revelator received his vision of heaven, he said he saw that there would be some of every kind there. What a collection. This means that the clock may stop ticking. As we are getting the gospel out all over the world, the clock could stop ticking at any time. Stamps are a good picture of the Christian because they work internationally. And we need to be Christians with a global view, with a worldview that is about others and not so wrapped up just in ourselves. We need to work internationally like the stamp. One stamp today can actually carry a message all the way around the world. And every time a stamp is mailed overseas, it becomes an ambassador to represent its homeland from whence it came. It's a representative of a foreign land, if you will. So thank God for our missionaries who go out and represent us and go in our place and represent the homeland of heaven. You know, what you think of an ambassador is what you think of that country and all the people who live there in that country and what you think of their king or their president. We need to represent well. Yes? Okay? Represent well. A stamp is a good picture of Christians representing well internationally. And stamps are unique. They're so unique. There's lots of other kinds of stamps out there that are not postage stamps. So we're talking about postage stamps here. But think about all the other kinds of stamps out there that aren't postage stamps and can't do what postage stamps do. They cannot carry the mail. What kind of stamps can you think of? Other kinds of stamps. What? Tax stamps? I never even heard of it. I'm glad not to have. What is that? A tax stamp? They still do that today? Okay. If so, I'm dodging them. Said the man on the day before April 15th. On recording, sent all over the world. Never mind. Remember green stamps? How many of you remember green stamps? How could I forget? There's some foods I still cannot taste to this day because my mom collected so many of those and made me lick them and put them into the books. How about a wet rag? Come on. Then there's Columbia House stamps, Christmas stamps, Easter seals. None of these can carry the mail. There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ alone. He is the way, the truth, the life. Put a fake stamp on a letter, and today's technology will filter that out and kick it back. They can't counterfeit these stamps, not with the technology they have today. Return to sender, right back where it came from, but true postage stamps go where they are sent. And that's our last point. Postage stamps are a picture of a Christian, and right out of Hezekiah's post office, they are a picture of carrying the gospel. You know why? Because they stay put. They stay put. They stick to their place. They don't slide over. They don't backslide. They go where God sticks them, and they stay put, and they let God use them to carry His mail. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:58, which says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Stick where you are stuck. Unmovable. No sliding around, no backsliding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord." Postage stamps are little, but they accomplish big things. They do a big job. Postage stamps don't give up when they get licked. No, they don't. Matter of fact, when they get licked is actually when they're about ready to do their job. They're just about to do their job at that point. Now, most stamps today, let's be honest, are self-adhesive, right? I mean, it's hard to even find some that you have to lick out anymore. But I want to point out tonight that the ones that you have to lick aren't like these sticky-backed ones that have smooth edges. The ones you have to lick always have rough edges, don't they? They always have that. They're not clean cut. They have the rough edges. They take a little work to tear out. They're not as neat. And they give you a bad taste sometimes. And they're more difficult to fasten in place. Well, listen, God did not promise us smooth sailing. He did not promise us there would not be some rough edges at times. What He did promise us was a safe arrival on the other side, not necessarily a pleasant voyage. He did not say that on our cruise we would not break our arm. He did say we would safely make it to the other side, that He would get us through it, that we would be okay. A safe arrival on the other side. Now really, if you think about it, the postage stamp has, truthfully, nothing to do with guiding the mail to its final destination, does it? Your stamp doesn't tell the mail carrier where to take them to. It takes a higher power to do that. It's out of the stamp's hands, and so we want to make sure that we are in our Master's hand. He's the one who creates us to be a stamp. He's the one who paid for us. He's the one who nails us to the post. He's the one who will guide us home. And until then, you know what we need to do? Stay where He stuck us. Keep being faithful until the Lord returns for us. Just be faithful to deliver God's mail. And let me tell you, you have the opportunity to do that in more ways than ever. You can go home and you can write an email to a lost loved one or a lost person that you want to reach out to. You can do it the old-fashioned way with a letter or a telephone or telegraph or tell a woman, what do they say? You can use whatever method you want to try to go get out the mail. The fact is, we've got mail. We were created as the stamp. We can do our job, and there's a beautiful object lesson in this. Let's deliver God's mail. And all God's people said, let's pray. Lord, tonight I just want to praise You for the privilege it is to be called of You, to serve You, to be messengers, to be ambassadors, to take the revival that You've put in our heart and want to spread it to others around us and those far off from us. I pray that You'd help us to do exactly that as a church. I pray that You would bless our missions program. May it continue to grow and flourish. Bless our missionaries, each and every one, in the challenges that they have, the financial needs that they have. Pray that You would take the prayers of Your people and help them as they continue to be the stamps, to deliver the mail and stick where You've put them, right in the corner of the world where You put them at. Lord, I pray that You would bless Grace Notes Sermon Ministry around the world. What a privilege that others would want to carry the mail for us. Now let us do our job to carry the mail across the street and around the world as You lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a verse of invitation.